This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Dear, Troy McLaughlin.
Okay, never mind. Just forget it. Shout out, Tone. Appreciate it. Never mind. I just love the idea that Davion Mitchell is wearing his
shirt. Well, if you go to Matt George's Twitter, he has the specific
question. Well, where were you 2 minutes ago? Of course Matt has it. It was Matt's question.
That's where I saw it.
I saw it watching the – I like to watch the post-game, you know, interviews. Well, I like it more when they win, but – let's see, NBA courts, De'Aaron Fox spoke, former teammate. There it is. All right. Stand by. Now I get this. I got my partner's got my bag. Here we go. Thanks to Matt George and ABC 10 for this. Here's De'Aaron and Matt George.
Fox, quick first one. I don't know if you saw. Did you see Davion Mitchell wearing your shoe?
Yeah. Funny enough, so whenever, and this is even before I got the shoe, I told Davion he needs to switch shoes anyways and start wearing Curry brand. And mainly it was because of, like, the bottoms. And I'm like, whenever he was playing in, like, Kobe's and GT's, he was sliding. And I'm like, Davion, you play hard and you stop too hard. I'm like, just put the shoes on. I said, just try it. And he never tried it while he was here. And then he played in them once, one of the first games in the year. And then he texts me and he's like, yo, send me everything that you're not wearing. So, all right, so Miggy boxes up everything that's, like, not PEs, and then he started wearing them, and then obviously I got my shoes, so he got a pair of those. But he loves the product, and I like I told y'all before, and I'm like, bro, I'm not lying because I signed to the brand. I'm like, there's a reason that I signed to it, and I'm glad he's doing it for sure.
That might be the happiest I have ever seen De'Aaron Fox. Like, I mean, you could hear it if you're just listening. You could absolutely hear it. But my man is smiling from ear to ear talking about them shoes and Davion Mitchell wearing his shoes. And that has to be pretty dope as a ball player to have your own shoe line with Under Armour and to see not just another player wear it, mm-hmm. but a former teammate wear it.
Yeah, man, and show love. I wonder, though, I don't know, man. I can't wait for these shoes to drop. They drop December 6th. You know, I got to get me a pair. You know what I mean? If anybody's listening. I'll let your boy. But I don't know, man. Kobe's, people don't be sliding on Kobe's. Kobe's got some of the best.
Let the man rep his brand.
Well, I bet his shoes are just as good with the grip. I'm just saying.
Let the guy big up his brand. Oh. I mean, we say all the time, nobody in the world does what we do. Yes, they do. We don't know who, but yes, they do.
No, no.
Well, probably not.
No.
No one else bets Tyrese overs. Looking. I know that.
More.
Certainly no one locally does. Shout out to our guy Chris Watkins, by the way.
Hey, big ups to him, man. Big ups to him. Always, man. But yeah, man. I need them Fox Ones, man. I gotta get those. December 6th. They dropping. They gonna sell out crazy out here. I know.
Oh, they're gonna go crazy.
Yeah.
Let's hear more from De'Aaron Fox postgame since we've got Matt George's account pulled up.
Christy has shared with us before, he feels like the ball has energy. He talks about that a lot, and it seemed like even before the shots were falling tonight, the ball was zipping around and moving around a lot. Is it something noticeably different tonight with the ball movement? I know you talked about like the sprays and everything, but what was different about the energy with coming out of the gate with you guys tonight?
Like I said before, I think it's the way that we touch the paint. I think getting 2 feet into the paint and then you spray, sometimes it might not be that person that takes a shot, but now the defense is in rotation and it could be, you know, swing, swing, someone else touches the paint, swing, swing, shot. You know, whenever we're playing, we're not playing to get the assist. If that person has a shot, they take it. If they don't, they move it on and you keep the defense in constant rotation. And I think that's when you start to get open looks. And I mean, obviously everybody knows it's much easier to stand there, catch the ball and shoot than it is to obviously have to run off a screen or have to do it by yourself off the dribble. So if we're able to do that, if we're able to create advantages and then play off of that, I feel like, you know, it makes those shots much easier.
Thanks to Matt George and ABC 10 for that, by the way. Matt George will be with us in the final hour of today's show. That was one of the clips I was talking about earlier. De'Aaron talking about touching the paint. Mike Brown did the same thing before the game, and clearly it was a top of mind for everybody involved, and we saw it executed last night. Mm-hmm. You know, we can debate how different were the looks last night versus the Clippers versus the Spurs. Like, we can have those conversations to death, but the fact is they appeared to have gotten the looks that they wanted. They appeared to have played the way that they wanted, touching the paint and getting the ball back out, and the shots dropped.
Shots dropped, man. That's really what it come down to in a game where – you do pretty much everything else fine. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
At least offensively, like I said, the offensive rebounds, that was frustrating. But you're getting to the bucket. You're finishing in the paint. You're doing all this other stuff. If you can knock down the three on a consistent basis, it's a knockout blow, especially with this team specifically. You know what I mean? Like, they can put teams away if they start hitting the three at a high clip, because they can score in so many different ways. And I know last night wasn't the case, but they're making free throws. They're able to score in the paint. De'Aaron Fox can get to the paint. Now DeRozan is a mid-range guy. Like, they score in so many other ways. If you have the three ball going too, and last night wasn't a historic night, it wasn't nothing like that, but you shot well from three.
Mm-hmm.
Shot good. Just shoot good. And you are, I'm with James, you're going to be 125, 130. You know, on a lot of different nights, because the variance of how you're able to score is just going to be too much for most times for those opponents.
You're listening to D'Lo and Casey on KIFM West Sacramento, 98.5 FM KRX QHD2 Sacramento, ESPN 1320, always live on the free Odyssey app, live on 1320 TV as well, on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. I did sign up for Blue Sky.
Oh, yeah, I was going to do that last
night. I did it. All right, man.
Is there a reason why everybody's going to Blue Sky? They just don't like Twitter no more?
I think they don't like the owner of Twitter.
Oh, that's true too.
And I think Twitter's pretty bad. I think it could get way, way worse in the coming, given the things that we're hearing. I think it could get way, way worse. I think the biggest purge in Twitter users in its history has happened over the last week. But look, if we're going to do this, we're going to make an effort to do this. We're not going to do that crap we did with Threads where, oh my God, a million people signed up and then no one uses it. Look, we're either committing to the bit or we're not. I signed up. If y'all go over there, we follow, we do the whole thing. Look, I'm with you. Scooter saying, I looked for you last night. I think I just did it this morning. Like, I think I did it this morning. It might have been last night, but it's there.
Yeah.
We all need to commit. Commit to Blue Sky or stop it.
I'm gonna go over there. I'm not over there yet, but I'm gonna go over there.
Yeah, but are you gonna use it?
Well,
that's what I'm saying.
Sure. I mean, if it's popping over there, yeah, I'll use it.
Okay.
Threads ain't popping.
It's not. It absolutely is not popping.
Threads
y'all lied.
If Blue Sky start popping,
I opened Threads for the first time. Like, who the F is this guy? And why am I seeing this? I had to have someone explain this to me. Like, why am I seeing all of this stuff? And y'all don't think there's misinformation on Threads. Lord have mercy.
All right, let's get Blue Sky popping. See what happens.
Okay. Well, we over there. Or I'm over there. Casey's on his way.
Soon.
Maybe we can get Trey Lyles and Jordan McLaughlin over there because they scored a combined Yeah, they scored a combined 24 points from the bench. So we talked about this. We kind of laid the groundwork for this conversation out earlier. Over the last couple of days, we've talked about making threes. We've talked about the absence of Malik Monk and the bench stepping up.
Mm-hmm.
We saw this team make threes. We saw them step up in the absence of DeMar DeRozan. And we saw the bench play really well without Malik Monk for the first time. I didn't even mention Keon Ellis. Keon Ellis had a nice little game, too.
He did. He did. And it was much needed. There was a level of confidence that we saw from Trey Lyles specifically. That's who I'm kind of focused in on with the bench scoring. And I go back to that play late in that Phoenix game where, you know, he was hesitant to shoot the ball, missed it. Badly, and I said, well, look, if you're not going to be confident, then we going to have to get somebody else out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Try somebody else. Came right back down, hit a big-time corner three, got to the free throw line, and started to get a feel for himself just a little bit, get a little bit more confidence. San Antonio, it was kind of nondescript. I don't remember too much about his game there. But last night, he was confident. He was pulling it. And that's what I want to see from him. That's what's going to get him, in my opinion, back to the Trey Lyles that we know and love, having confidence in your game. And that comes with more playing after you're coming off an injury like that, having a short training camp, not having a preseason. You're going to get more comfortable as you play, and we may be seeing him kick out of the early season funk right now.
Jordan McLaughlin, 4 of 6 from the field for 11 points. Keon Ellis, 4 of 5 from the field for 9 points. Trey Lyles, 5 of 7 from the field for 13 points. Trey Lyles hit 3 of 5 from behind the arc. It was big time. And they all did other things, whether it was rebounding, assisting, whatever. All three of those guys did other things out there. And it was kind of a moment where it's like, okay, you feel good about what we saw out there. Jordan McLaughlin probably got a little bit more run than he might have normally gotten with the absence of DeMar DeRozan. But it all worked. And for the first time this season, it feels like the Kings hit on multiple different levels.
Yeah. Or
maybe hit on all levels.
I agree. So the thing about it was, maybe I'm just looking for the perfect game, but
The free throws.
Yep. The offensive rebound was off.
Well, and that's kind of a component we haven't really talked about. We talked about the bad with the turnovers from Domantas Sabonis, but we haven't talked about the fact that they gave up 19 rebounds.
So I look at
19 offensive rebounds, excuse me.
I look at it like this, and this is maybe it's glass half full or glass half empty. You said they gave up 19 offensive rebounds, right? Mm-hmm. Let me see. They had
4 of them were on a single possession.
That was crazy.
It felt like everyone was watching. It was so infuriating.
That was crazy to see. 19 offensive rebounds, 17 turnovers, right? So you bring them together, that's 36.
The Kings with 17 turnovers.
17 turnovers for the Kings.
Yep.
36, I don't even know how you word them, but like empty possessions. Lack of possession. Like you cut
lost
that.
Lost possessions.
You cut that in half. That's 18 more opportunities you had to score. Mm-hmm. And a night where you're hitting a three, a night where you're hitting from two, you shot 64% from the field. Like this, they won, they handled business. It got, you know, comfortable after a while. So there's not a whole lot to complain about. But it's more so just looking at it and saying, man, that could have been a 140, 150 point night if you would have done a couple of the other little things. Mm-hmm. And you have that capability to do, right? Like you hit the three at a good pace. You didn't go crazy, set no franchise record. Hit it at a good pace, 15 of them. You get half of those offensive rebounds, you get another opportunity on the offensive end. Take care of the basketball, more opportunities on the offensive end. It goes back to what James is talking about. When things are clicking on that level, this is a team that can hit for 130, 140 at any given time. Any given time.
Mm-hmm.
And one of your best players didn't even play in the second half.
Did not. So KC says yesterday's win wasn't good enough. Got to be better. Hashtag be better. Joe Davidson.
Put it on
Be
his
better,
shirt.
Kings. Be better, Kings. Yeah, I mean, you always there's multiple layers to this. 127 points is spectacular. You'd argue, I mean, the way that they'd been shooting, they're closer to 15 of 17 on the season than 12 of 17 mm-hmm. that they were last night. Mm-hmm. That right there alone, without factoring in the offensive rebounds, is 130.
Mm-hmm.
And then you factor in, again, 19. For comparison, the Kings, who out-rebounded the Suns 45-40, they had six.
That's crazy.
19-6 in a game you won by 23.
Break it down a little bit. The Suns had 19 offensive rebounds. They only had 21 defensive rebounds.
Bro, crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
You know what the Suns did to get off all those offensive rebounds? I know you know. They went to trainwithmap.fit/ESPN1320. You can head over to right there. You can book your free nutritionist consultation. You can use their macro calculator. You can get yourself on track before the holidays get here. Don't get dragged down into that holiday thing where you're just eating at office parties, eating at your friends' parties, eating at the house, and then you feel bad and you feel gross. Like, start working to prepare. Nothing wrong with eating a little bit, but prepare for that. Be ready for that. Trainwithmap.fit/ESPN1320 is a great resource, as is maptrition.com. That site is linked right there. Get your fat burners for the holidays. It'll go a long way. Get your cravings crushers. That means you have just a little bit of food rather than a massive plate full of food. It's all there at trainwithmap.fit/ESPN1320 with a link directly to maptrition.com. We'll come back. We'll talk more Kings basketball. We will talk NBA basketball. It was wild last night.
The season has started.
And we'll check in with Kevin Herter and checks notes, Doug McDermott.
Hey, let's go, Doug.
From practice, when D'Lo and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
You're listening to D'Lo and Casey. D'Lo and Casey on ESPN 1320.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is D'Lo and Casey on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Sky River Casino.
Matt George coming up the final hour of the show. We'll check in with James Hamm at Kings Practice coming up here. Just a heartbeat. It's at the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. You want to get in? You want to talk about the Kings? You want to talk about something else? We'll talk to our brother TC. TC, what's going on, baby?
Yes, sir. What's up with my two brothers?
What's up, TC?
Oh, man, you know, Vibe and Kenny, man. Look, just I sent y'all that mass text, bro. I was livid, dog.
Yeah.
I was livid, man. I was livid, man. Seriously, man. That was like a – go ahead.
How you feeling now, TC?
I'm straight. I'm still feeling the same way I felt in the beginning, man. We scary. I just was bad at that moment, man. I'm glad to see Velvet found himself. Mm-hmm. Trey Lyles is coming around. Like I said, man, listen, this team is going to be who they are, bro. We ain't going to be able to – I know it was fun while it lasted, the 130-140, but we're not going to get back to that, y'all. We're going to be like a grit and grind team that's going to hit middies and win playoff series and be a scary team when it comes to win. Not a flashy team that's going to get knocked out in the first round.
They scored 127 last night.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be grit and grind.
I get it.
All right, TC. Love you, TC. Appreciate you, bro. All right.
Yeah, cool. I don't think they're going to be no grit and grind team. I actually think they're going to be dynamic on the offensive end. That's what I felt since the summer. And I haven't seen anything that gets me to change that. If they're able to shoot the basketball like they did last night from beyond the three-point line, yeah, they're going to be dynamic on the offensive end. A problem.
916-909-1320 if you want to get in on the conversation. As always, we'd love to hear from you. I thought that was a great win for the home court as well. Mm-hmm. That was definitely kind of a feel-good moment for the fans. They got to see the team, you know, hit some shots. They got to see their guys play well. Mm-hmm. They didn't really fall into anything. Obviously, there was no KD. There was no Grayson Allen either. But no Bradley Beal. No Brad. Yeah. No Brad. Brad was ruled out late in that one. But it was a good. That's what you. If you went to the Golden One Center last night, knowing what you knew about Phoenix, knowing what you've known about the Sacramento Kings. That's what you wanted, and that could go a long way. We got a Friday night game coming up.
That's right.
Didn't think the last Friday night game was popping as much as I wanted to be, and of course they didn't reward us. They didn't reward anybody who went to the arena that night either. So hopefully, you know, this Friday in season tournament, different vibes. De'Aaron talked about it last night. The court, the vibes, the energy, it all is a little bit different. We kind of laughed at it, but you talked about it yesterday. Yo, last night felt like opening night in the NBA.
Yeah.
That was an in-season tournament, man. It was popping. It was jumping. The courts look different. The vibe is different. It's shot different. I feel like the lighting in some of the arenas is different. It's fun.
Yeah.
And maybe it all is a Jedi mind trick. I don't really know, but I want the Kings to win the in-season tournament, so let's go with it.
Let's get it. I want to see them get that W. We'll talk about the NBA in a whole in just a second, but you know you got a Minnesota team that's struggling a little bit. See if you can you know kind of continue to kick them while they're down. But I thought you mentioned something that was spot on. The crowd was into it,
yep.
and like you talked about, hitting those 3-point shots kind of gave the crowd some life, gave them some energy, and they were able to get into that game. They were able to get hyped up a little bit more because. The 3-point shot was falling a little bit last night, and you know, like you said it perfectly, it's like a Malik dunk. You know, it's the extra oomph when they're able to get that done. So, making the 3-point shot is paramount for this team, for this franchise. It feels like
I think that's always the case when someone is struggling. Like I remember the Minnesota game, first game of the season. Kevin took that first three, like at the top of the key. Mm-hmm. Straight away, and you could see like everyone wanted it so bad. They wanted it so bad for him. The good news, pretty much everyone is struggling. So every shot that went in, whether it was Keegan or it was Kevin or Trey, it all had a little extra pop on it.
Yep.
And I did start to think as you talked about your frustration with the final 2 minutes, I did wonder, did the Kings just peak shooting? Like, did they peak? And then it's gonna revert back to what we saw the last couple of nights, and or really is it gonna revert back to what we've seen this season? And it didn't. Thankfully, it didn't. But yeah. I loved the energy in their arena last night, man. And I hope it continues on Friday.
Well, you know, Golden One Center turning into the new Great Western Forum. More celebrities in the house last night.
And who was there last night?
Natalie Nunn was there last night.
In the building.
Yeah, man. She lives in Sacramento, but still, she was in the building.
It's fine. Yeah. Still at a Kings game.
Yeah, man.
Let's check in with Kevin Huerter today at practice, courtesy of Sean Cunningham and Fox 40. James posted the same video, but Sean's always looking sound better. So here's Sean Cunningham.
check.
Some good music going today.
It's crazy.
A little bit of a different vibe in here today. We making music.
A little softer music, you know, not as much as the usual. A little bit of a lighter day for us.
How are you guys feeling after last night's win?
I'll hit pause right there only because I saw the videos. Apparently Stevie Wonder was in heavy rotation today at the at practice.
Shout out to whoever the music person was.
I think it was, Sean said who it was. I think it was the video coordinator. But Sean said who it was.
Okay.
And Sean is a music connoisseur.
Ball seems like a little bit of a weight lifted off you guys.
Yeah, we feel good. We watched film on. I think a big indicator of that was how we were getting those shots. I think we did a better job of getting the paint, spraying the ball, a lot of more catch and shoot, kick out opportunities.
Third person to say the exact same thing. Keep an eye on that moving forward. They're all saying the same exact thing.
There's a big emphasis going into last night, and got two more coming up back-to-back. Obviously, important one tomorrow, so we're getting ready.
Had that started to bother you guys a little bit? It's unusual to see you guys ranked dead last in the league in three-point shooting.
Not really. It was kind of something that we knew at some point it's going to all come back, and just got to continue to get your work in consistent with what we're doing. And at some point it was going to turn. We think we have a lot of guys in this gym that could make shots at a high level.
With the paint touches and being as crucial it is for people who don't understand, they might hear that. Can you explain just how that helps create open looks for you guys?
Yeah, it's good offense. It's, you know, multiple guys touching the ball in any given possession. And you got a kick out three. When you're starting in the paint, you're kicking out to the three-point line. It's a lot easier of a shot than, you know, getting a pass from slot to corner or coming off the DHO and sprinting off and taking threes or shots in transition. You know, the best you can get in the half court of just kick out, catch and shoot, step in threes, your percentages should go up.
Kevin, you've been getting a lot of steals last few games and stuff. You've been working on those quick
guards.
What are you seeing out there, you know, collecting them like that?
Just trying to be in passing lanes, you know, helping guys on drives and using my length and, you know, anticipating kind of what teams are trying to do. And but a lot of that is just, again, using my length, being passing lanes, helping out the rest of our guys when they're guarding drives.
And we've seen you stuff the stat sheet a little bit. Is that something that you've been working on when the three-point shot, whether it's falling or not, you're going to go get some rebounds, you're going to get some assists, the steals, the deflections?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's always something that I've had in my game. It's just doing it every single game, being more consistent with it. And this coaching staff, especially, you know, us rebounding the ball has been a big emphasis for us. And as we continue to get better offensively and, you know, everyone get more comfortable with each other, I think the assists and all that stuff will come. And for me, it's just trying to play as hard as I can every night.
The production from the bench last night, I mean, how encouraging was that knowing that you got a couple weeks without Malik?
It's great. You know, those guys are definitely capable. I thought that Jordan came in and played really well. And funny, he's played really well in, you know, the past couple opportunities he's gotten. So that's great. And, you know, Keon looking good. And, you know, everybody knows this. It's the NBA. Guys are going to go out. It's a long season. And everybody's got to be ready to play.
I'm going to hit pause right there. You remember, it was last season, when we were trying to judge Kevin Herter's mood by his media availability. That dude, he doesn't hit another level.
No.
Like every once in a while he might crack a smile. You know who's actually starting to show a smidge bit of personality is Keegan. Keegan with Drapes and Katie yesterday. Like he like let out like little semi jokes, like didn't really smile, but like had some energy and some tone to his voice. I was like, you know, I think Keegan might have a little bit of a personality. Keegan goes to the podium, and it's all worn off at that point. Like, he is just back to delivering his message, similar to what Kevin Herter did, and saying what I've got to say and get out of here. But I think he might have been happy. I think he might have been happy after the Kings' victory, and he almost let it show last night. This is what I was hoping.
We played great. Good defense last night, and I got a breakaway dunk and want to see Malik give a thumbs down to that.
If he said that, I would have fell out. That would be the greatest Keegan Murray quote of all time if he actually said that. That's amazing.
He got on the break.
Nope.
Malik, he got a dunk.
Yep. Okay.
Gave him a thumbs down. He'll be going to get comfortable and start thinking he's cracking jokes. And then
let's check in. We're going to head over to. All right, dude, settle down.
Shut up, my boy Keegan, man. He's a
little. Look, Mike all smiles, man. Let's see what Mike Brown has to say.
So you like the beach?
I like it all. I like the old school stuff.
Okay, yeah, so we're talking about the music again.
Just when you think about what you guys were looking at, the paint touches and everything you were looking for.
Paint touches. This isn't going to work.
On film, kind of confirm what you were thinking about after last game.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And, you know, like I said, it's a combination of a lot of things. We think at the end of the day we have a really good shooting team, and we just have to make sure we keep trying to get the shots that we practice, and that's when you touch the paint, you collapse the defense, you draw a second guy, you spray it, and our guys are ready to shoot it. And, you know, we started to show a little bit last night of how good of a team we're going to be able to shoot the basketball.
All right, we'll end it there because that squeaking is just a lot. James, I think, has a microphone taped to somebody's sneakers when he records these videos. I don't know whose shoes they're taped to, but he definitely has a sneaker mic out there. But again, obviously, two big takeaways from practice today. The music and how they were finally able to get threes to drop last night.
Wow.
And they're all, if you have the opportunity, Sean has, of course, you want to do this much later in the day. Sean Cunningham has the pregame press conference from Mike Brown on his Twitter account. And I was listening to that today. Listen to what Mike said and how similar it is to what Kevin said, what De'Aaron said last night, what Mike just said right there, and what we saw in the game. It was clearly a point of discussion between the Spurs game and that Suns game to take threes from the inside out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, take threes when the ball is moving. Take threes when guys are penetrating to the basket. Take threes when the ball is moving around, not just around the perimeter, not from Kevin to Keegan and then back to Kevin and then just swinging around the perimeter.
Right.
Into the paint and then back out.
Yeah, draw.
Clearly the focus.
Draw and kick. Sometimes it feels like it's a little bit different rhythm for the shooter, you know, with the draw and kick as opposed to just swinging it back and forth around the perimeter. And clearly it was a point of emphasis with these guys, you know what I mean? And the practices and in the film study, mm-hmm. getting back to attacking the basket, seeing what you got in that respect. And if they dig down, you kick out to a wide open shooter. That guy, as my boy Bill Raftery would say, get those puppies ready and get ready to shoot. And they did a great job of that last night. They were absolutely intentional with that last night, and it paid dividends because they shot the ball really well from beyond the arc.
As did Victor Wembanyama.
Ooh wee.
My goodness. That man had 50.
Mm-mm-mm.
He had 50, and he was 8 of 16 from 3.
Jeez.
I don't know what's more impressive.
Goodness gracious.
I really don't know what part of that stat line is the most impressive. The 8, the 50%, or the 16? That man was Buddy Hield in terms of his shot selection.
Yeah, that they're all equal. 16 threes. It goes to my point that he shoots too many jump shots, but when you're making 50% of them, you can shoot them all day.
Yeah, you got to find a new argument if you're shooting 50% from three. Like, it just does not work. Like, I can't wait for Shaq to go on TV. Oh, that's not my kind of big man out there shooting 16 threes. Shaq, he hit 8. That's like more than your entire career times 10.
Now, I will say, though, before the Kings game, I think he was shooting like 20% from three. And when you're Victor Wembanyama, it's one thing when you're Keegan Murray and you're shooting 28% from three, because I don't want to say you don't have different options, but you're not 7'4". When you're 7'4", we're not saying don't shoot no more threes, but get a feel, get back on that block, work on that fadeaway, you know, work on that turnaround, do that. But that's when that shot isn't going down. When the shot is going down, I mean, shoot as many as you need to, because you're absolutely unguardable at that point when they got to deal with you on the perimeter. And because of your height, you can – you know, go back to 28 feet, 29 feet, and hit these threes. That is when it's just a blindfold and a cigarette. that's what that is when he's hitting the jump shots.
Remind me of that analogy again. Like, that's right before execution. What's the blindfold and cigarette again?
I think that's what it is.
Oh, okay.
Charles Barkley said that all the time. I wasn't going to elaborate.
I love that, but you're not quite sure,
well,
but you use it so regularly.
I'm pretty sure if there's another analogy, I don't know, but I'm taking it as, yeah. Wasn't going to get in depth with that.
No, the military firing squad. No, I just feel like when you use an analogy, you should understand what it means.
Well,
and it's the military firing squad.
I wasn't going to break it down.
Okay. All right. Why were soldiers in World War II given cigarettes before execution?
Oh, man.
Oh, I love this show. Soldiers were often given cigarettes to a wounded enemy or a drink of water. Mm. Oh.
That might help, yeah.
Here's an article. A cigarette, a blindfold, and you. That sounds like a children's story.
Jesus. What? What you mean, me?
A cigarette, a blindfold, and you. That's what it's called. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Oh, boy.
In any event. Wimby, there was something I wanted to look at. Wimby, where are you? Okay, 50 last night. By the way, they beat Washington 139-130. Of course,
Washington's lost six in a row now.
Your Washington Wizards have lost six in a row. Wild. I guess when you shoot 8 of 16 from 3, you don't really rack up the rebounds. 6 rebounds last night for Wemby. We all remember the frustrating 34, which, hey, feel better, Kings fans. That was his season high. Mm. 34 was his season high.
No longer.
And then he had 24 the game before. So the last three games, they did lose that one by one to Utah. But the last three games, he started to look a little closer to the player that I think a lot of us, including me, mm-hmm. thought he would be to start the season. Mm-hmm. You know, we look, oh, man. Yeah, Wemby's not quite getting off to the start. Maybe expectations a little high. Maybe need to settle down. Got to find his legs here the second season. Okay, he found them.
They're here.
Yeah, we found them. So if I'm looking at this correctly, 24, 34, 50. I guess he's going for 65 tomorrow.
Sounds about right. Sounds about right.
Went from 53% to 59% to 62%. So I guess he's shooting 70% tomorrow.
Well, who they play?
I don't know. As long as
he gets cold again by the time they play the Kings next.
Well, that's December 6th.
December 6th. Well, I think they play.
We're going to watch the game together.
They play him before that, too.
They do?
Yeah,
here?
They play him on like the 1st or something like that.
Jesus.
On a Sunday.
We're playing the damn Spurs so many times.
Spurs and the Lakers getting them out of the way now.
Spurs. Well, if I knew how to use this calendar, I would tell you. But unfortunately, I don't because too many things happen on the 1st of every month. So I just can't tell you. There it is. You're right. Good call. It's the 1st at the Golden 1 Center.
Yeah. On a Sunday.
Yeah. They got the Spurs. We got a couple of Sunday games coming up. And they're 3 Sundays in a row. We got Brooklyn, San Antonio, and Utah. Mm.
Before the last game where he had 24, he shot the ball really well, 6 of 9 from beyond the arc, 6 of 12 against the Kings, and then 8 of 16 last night.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, he was 2 of 6, mm. 1 of 6, yep. 2 of 9, 1 of 7. And, yeah, that's where the murmurs are like, hey, man,
mm-hmm.
back on the block a little bit. Mm-hmm. But whatever
he did.
It wasn't
murmurs, it was you yelling at him.
Well. Sorry.
I think, Joe, we might have to clip this and run it back. I think it was Gacy that said Wemby was trash.
Well, wait.
I think he was like, what? Man, it's this overrated dude from France. It might have been on a commercial break. I can't remember. We'll see
if we can
pull
the tape. See what I'm saying?
Joe's looking for it right now.
That's why you don't trust the media, man. That's why you don't trust them, man. They just throw anything out there. I'm looking at Morty. I didn't realize it was this bad from three.
He was
4
not.
4-13, mm-hmm. 0-3, 1-5.
Yeah.
2-5, 1-8.
Yeah. He looked like the Kings. if the Kings can get hot like Wemby has, boy, we got a win streak going right here.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got a win streak going right here.
Shout out to my man Jordan Poole. Yeah, 42.
This kid can't drink yet.
When does he turn 21?
January 4th.
Man.
Yeah, this kid cannot drink yet, man. And they're already talking like he the one.
Let me ask you a question. They, like, people have been talking about viewership and all this other stuff with the NBA. And they're like, man, you know, they need stars. The Warriors, Steph Curry, LeBron James, they still draw. They're like, man, who's next? And a lot of people are quick to say Wemby.
Nope.
Do you think Wemby is...
Nope. Not here. He is in France, and the numbers check that out. I don't think... this country is so egotistical. It's the soccer thing. Mm. How good is Nikola Jokic? How good is Giannis Antetokounmpo? Joel Embiid? I don't think these... It's got to be Steph. It's got to be the American-born player. Didn't someone start a discussion last year about the best American-born player because you kept running through this checklist of...
He said Tyrese Halliburton was...
Okay. All right. I swear to God, that guy. Both of those guys. But, like, it's like, who are the best players in the... Well, it's Jokic. Okay, who's next? It's Giannis. Okay, who's after that? I don't know. Joe? Well, who else? Luka? And again, this country is so egotistical. They want it to be Steph or LeBron. They want it to be the American-born player. And I think it's the soccer syndrome. Well, we don't... I know soccer is extremely popular here, but it's not the way it is in the rest of the world because we're not as good as the rest of the world. Mm. And Americans hate that. And so they turn their back on it a little bit. True. And so I don't know that Wemby can be the guy.
Well, I think what you're saying isn't wrong, but there's also an aspect of, like, I don't find these guys overly interesting.
Jokic, oh, 100%. Nikola Jokic is the least interesting person in sports.
Yeah, there's
next to Mike Trout.
There's nothing.
If he still plays baseball, which I'm not really sure.
I saw Butcher Boy talking about the other day that Giants might try to trade for him in the offseason.
Okay, too little, too late, man, but fine. Who's it, Buster? Go ahead, Buster. Do your thing, dog.
Whatever. But, yeah, and even Wemby. Like, I look at Wemby, and it's interesting to watch him play basketball, but I don't, like, I don't look at the Spurs and be like, no, I got to watch
this. Is there I'm not going to ask you. I am, just not right now.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you when we get – in fact, I'll ask – no, I won't. What am I going to do right here? Do I tease the question, Joe, or do I come back with the question? What do you think, Joe?
Tease it. Definitely tease it. Let's hear what you got.
I disagree.
Well, now we've got a conflict. Now we've got a conflict.
Yeah.
If you want to hear what the question is, stay right here.
Okay. I think, you know what? There you go. We'll go with that.
Wow. No backbone from Joe. Joe didn't even fight for his answer. That's fine, Joe. We'll come back. I'll ask the question when we get back because think about this. I'll tease it this way, Joe. Joel, Jokic, and Giannis. Wemby. Think about that for a second and what we've been talking about, and I'll get more specific when D'Lo and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
D'Lo and Casey on the home for Sacramento Sports Talk, ESPN 1320. This is D'Lo and Casey on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Sky River Casino.
No, I was giving a shout out to at Cassie Tran on Twitter, you know, old school Twitter, everybody on Blue Sky now. But her and her people, I guess they were getting into a back and forth with somebody on Twitter, maybe a Suns fan or something like that. And they took
one
of the
great
beam pictures of all time.
Agreed. Wholeheartedly agree.
I need to be in that picture next time.
That's a great, great picture. That's well done. That's on your account, right?
Yeah. I retweeted it last night.
I stopped blocking you recently and have started to see more of your tweets.
Thanks.
Well, okay, don't celebrate it yet. But no, I saw that one this morning. I was like, that's pretty funny. That's a great, great picture.
A great beam picture.
Yeah, I'm a retweet. That's very funny.
I said, yeah, next one, I got to get in, man. I got to get in that one.
Shout out to Young Zell. Zell said, y'all don't understand the gratitude I have for D'Lo and KC. They are a huge reason why I get to live out my dream. They brought eyes to my music that would have never looked twice. They are a true legend, real life family. Man, that's a hell of a tweet from Young Zell, man. We appreciate that. I remember when Zell first dropped those Drake bars for us, and that man said, I thought I was done making music. Man, what a travesty that would have been. I said that on the 1000 show. What an absolute travesty that would have been if Denzel Joyce stopped making music.
Absolutely, man. He super talented. The energy and the positivity that he raps with just kind of oozes off any record that he's on. And he's made an anthem, you know, here in Sacramento. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like the beam. That's an anthem. once again, no disrespect to anybody else, because I've heard other really good songs as well. To me, that's the best. That is the best Light the Beam song.
That's why it's been around here for multiple years.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Also, because he promised a remix that never came. So, you know, I mean, I don't know. Someone clip this and send it to Zell. We got a live show coming up December 6th that we're trying to spice up. We're trying to make... We've already got Matt George confirmed for that show. He's promised to be out there. I've been trying to come up with a way that I haven't even shared with Kenny yet. Okay. How we can make that show different.
Okay.
Different visually. Really, really different live. Because there was something I noticed on Monday that I thought was pretty dope. And this isn't like any... I mean... Sky River's dope. 32 Brews is dope. Mm-hmm. We're still, even in those moments, we're still a radio show. And mm-hmm. I think no matter what, though, we could be really entertaining no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, no matter what we're talking about. But, like, you know, no disrespect to Kyle Madsen and Hammer and JT and everybody. I noticed how, like, when we were with the wake-up call, how kind of locked in everybody was. Mm-hmm. And that's partly because they're new. They probably know we're talking about something different. That was a little bit more of like a variety type show than it was like a normal segment. Mm-hmm. But it caught my attention. And it was like, what could we do with Kyle that's different than what we normally do with Kyle at Sky River Casino? What could we do with Matt George that's a little bit different than what we're going to do today at 310? Mm-hmm. And... I'm starting to formulate some ideas, and I think December, I'm telling you right now, December 6th show is going to be really, really special. Mm. So make your plans to be with us. If y'all need doctor's notes, if you need excused absences notes, whatever it may be, we will get Jen, the HR guru,
shout out, Jen,
to write you an excuse to be at Sky River Casino.
Yep.
But December 6th, we're going to be there. All day long, 12 to 4, 4 to 7, 7 to 9.
Yeah.
Kings basketball will be on while Flashback Friday is going on. The Flashback Friday music will be out there on the patio. The games will be on the big TVs on the inside of the restaurant. Mm-hmm. We're going to correct. I know there was a slight sound issue this past Monday. We're going to correct that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to push everybody to have everything set up on Thursday night. So we're This will be thousandth show level special.
Mm. It's a takeover, man. Shout out to our people at Sky River Casino. They didn't gave us the keys. They said, look, they did. Do what y'all got to do.
They did.
We about to cook.
And that place is decorated. Well, I don't know if you heard this. That place is decorated immaculately for the holiday season.
Mm.
And that was all done Monday morning.
Oh, wow.
All of those trees that were all over
the
patio, and then the ones that were out by SR Prime.
Yeah.
All of that Christmas stuff was done the morning of us doing that show.
That's really cool. They don't miss a beat over Mm-mm. there. They Mm-mm. do not miss a beat over there. They don't skimp on anything, nothing, man. Everything is high quality, high class, man.
I'm such a fat ass. All I can think, I'm sorry, Greg and Map Training. All I can think about is the food. That Chinese food was so good.
I tell you, man, I'm going over there either Friday or Saturday.
Well, we know you're not, because you do this all the time.
No, the last time I said it, I was there at like 12:30 a.m.
Okay, that's true. You did do that. That is facts. Instagram proved it.
So I'm going, I just want the shrimp fried rice.
Do it. Do it. Let's go to the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. Our brother Peyton here. Peyton, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's happening, y'all? It's been a minute.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. How you doing, bro?
Hey, I'm doing good. Hey, where's Jesse at? Jesse's gone. We got Joe now, or what happened?
Well, one, Joe always ride with us. Yeah. Two, Jesse's out in Miami, man. He'll be at the Raider game this weekend. Him and his dad out there having a good time.
Oh, he's back.
South
back
Beach Tapias.
Okay, I hear you. Hey, I wanted to talk about non-American born athletes that are showing up. What about the boy Shohei Ohtani, man? He's getting some fame out here, and that's America's sport.
Yeah, that's a good call right there, Peyton.
Shohei box office.
Yeah,
box office.
I don't have a retort to that one, man. He's 100% right. Shohei's the one. And maybe that's maybe. So this is what we were talking. We were specifically talking about this before the break, like, because you asked, is Wemby the next big star? All this talk about ratings, all of these different things. Wemby might be I don't know if he's the next box office draw. Like, LeBron is box office. You tune in to see LeBron James. Mm-hmm. You tune in to see LeBron James at 21. You tune in to see LeBron James at 40. Mm-hmm. Steph Curry, you tune in to see, you know, Steph Curry at 28, 29, 30. You're tuning in to see Steph Curry right now at 35, 36. Mm-hmm. I think there's something to the foreign-born players, but what I was alluding to before the break that I think a lot of people picked up on was Jokic, Joel, Giannis, now Wemby. Those are bigs. Mm-hmm. And I think I'll speak for me. I can't relate to any of those guys. I can't relate to LeBron James either. But LeBron James is so over the top incredible. So when you talk about players, like, yeah, I don't think Jokic is ever going to be in the conversation as the greatest player of all time. Conversation is one of the greatest players of all time? Sure. Mm-hmm. But the greatest of all time? Like, no. Steph is the most relatable great player in history because he's not built like LeBron James. For the record, Steph Curry is not a small individual. No matter how much you think, hey, I'm Steph Curry size, you're not.
Like 6'3".
John Poles might be Steph Curry size. Everybody else is not. Yeah. But because he's out there with the, you know, the 6'9", the 6'8", LeBron Jameses and the, you know, the 7'3", Wembys and stuff, he looks mm-hmm. more relatable to us. He's the most relatable, greatest player we've ever seen. Mm-hmm. The relation is different there. It's hard to relate to these bigs. Watching Wemby, I mentioned this to you like in a commercial or something. Hey, did you watch any of the condensed game? Did you go back and see any of what Wemby was doing? It's so bizarre watching him because no one else can do it.
Right.
You're watching a guy who is doing something that it feels like no one else in the league can do at that size. And that's what makes it so different. The size of Victor Wembanyama, watching him just step in three. What? I don't remember Manu Bull stepping in and hitting threes like that. Like, what is this?
Right.
It is such a, the sight is almost awkward. And you're mesmerized by it more than anything else. And it's, it's totally unrelatable. Mm. And I think that's what makes stars sometimes, especially in basketball, is being able to relate to them somehow. Mm. Or, to Peyton's point, Shohei, or to my point with LeBron, you have to be so, like, you have to be pushing the levels of the greatest of all time. Mm. Like, you have to feel like you're seeing something we've never seen before. Mm. That's Mike Tyson in the 80s. Mm-hmm. That's Ronda Rousey for a stretch in the UFC. You have to feel like you're tuning in because you're believing you're seeing something you've never seen before. Mm-hmm. And that's LeBron. Maybe that's going to wind up being Wemby, but you alluded to this. You didn't allude to it. You said it. The Spurs are never going to be interesting.
Yeah. And there's a when you talk about like the ratings and, you know, who will draw, there's a level of polarization to that deciding factor.
Mm-hmm.
The Warriors were darlings, you know, and mm-hmm. Steph Curry was, you know, the underdog that ended up being this great basketball player.
Yeah.
There was also a large contingent of people that wanted to see them fail.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing.
They became LeBron. Villains quick.
Yeah. Same thing with LeBron James, his entire career. You look at Jokic, and nobody feels one way or another about Jokic. Mm. If they feel one way, it's probably, yeah, I like him.
It's mostly because Jokic doesn't care.
Yeah, I like him. I think Joel has a little bit of that, but Joel can't stay on the floor. He's got a little bit of polarization to him.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I got you.
Just not that people hate him, but just that he's interesting. He's a character. He'll say stuff.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
he'll
yeah.
say things that make people
right.
maybe not like him.
Yeah.
Or if you're going against him, like say him and Karl-Anthony Towns used to have a I think, maybe still do. But he'll, if they played the Knicks in a series, they might say something slick about Karl-Anthony Towns. It's like, oh, well, I got to tune in to game three because, you know, Joel was talking crazy. I want to see how he's got that element to him. Like you said, Jokic doesn't really say much of anything. Right now, Wimby doesn't. The only thing the only thing that gets Wimby turned up is Chet Holmgren. If they play in the playoffs, maybe we'll see like some energy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But other than that, he's just out there doing what he does. I think.
Is this exclusive to basketball? Because Peyton did bring Shohei Ohtani into this, and Shohei doesn't speak.
Shohei,
like he can't, to use the wrestling, he can't cut a promo.
Right. Shohei is